have the answers. Well, God's way is outdated. God's way is overrated. We mistakenly believe that our instincts are good, that if I think it, it must be right, because I feel it. You see, God doesn't just tell us what he thinks. God comes and presents truth. God doesn't just give us his opinion on things. He comes and presents truth. Truth is God's way. Truth is his way. God is truth. And so when he comes, we have to understand that he's speaking truth to our lives. And when God comes along and says, no, here's truth, we have a choice. Am I going to accept that as truth? Am I going to accommodate for that truth in my life? Or am I going to go against it and face the consequences for it? As a church, we have a choice. We have a choice of whether or not we're going to be a church that does things God's way. Or are we going to go the way of man and how man would do it? As individuals, we choose to do it God's way or to do it our way. So here is the starting point for doing life God's way. You've got to start with this. Remember what he did for you. God did a lot for us when he made this beautiful planet, didn't he? He did a lot for us. He made the beautiful sun, the stars, the sky. He gave us the mountains. He gave us all the trees. He gave us lakes. Well, he gave us mostly oceans. We made the lakes, most of them. And creation is absolutely amazing. And when you consider all the luxuries and things that we have pulled out of planet Earth, God planted this building inside the Earth. In fact, you came from planet Earth. God formed you out of the dust of planet Earth. Your earrings, the gold that you wear, everything in your life that you know of, your house was planted in planet Earth whenever God made the place. And we've pulled it out of there, all of the wonderful things that God has given us through planet Earth. There's a lot that God has done for us, wouldn't you say? But it's more than that. The fact that you're alive, the fact that he gave you life, the fact that you are breathing today, God has given you the ability to have a healthy life. God's given you the ability to determine in many ways how much strength you have in your life. Did you know that there are an estimated 10 nonillion, I think that's how you pronounce it. That's a huge number. There's 10 nonillion individual viruses on planet Earth. Did you realize that? So they say that in order for us to understand that number, if you were to assign one virus to every star in the universe, you could do that 100 million times to every star. You could put 100 million viruses from planet Earth on each star in the sky, and that's how many viruses are on planet Earth right now. How many of you know God has protected you from viruses? That's a lot of viruses, and we're scared about one. God has protected you. God has given you life. God has given you breath. He's given you the ability to worship him, but it's more than that. God has made a way for us to know he is alive and how to live his way. God wants your life to be an example of what it looks like to serve him and to love him. God wants the church to be an example of what it looks like for a community to come together and love him and be in harmony and unity. His way gives life. His way gives health. His way gives strength. His way gives vitality to life. His way gives purpose in your life. His way is relationships. His way is love. And when you begin living and doing life God's way, your life is going to get better. Haven't you found that? How many of you found that to be true? Doing life God's way is better for us. We have recently just gone through the book of Exodus and the story of how the nation of Israel was formulated under slavery in Egypt, and how that God heard their cry. God was listening, and he heard their cries for deliverance, and they were living under intolerable conditions, and God heard them, and he took action. God did something about it. In a series of powerful exploits, God delivered them out of Egypt. You all remember the story, those of you who have been here. God personally led them out of Egypt across the Red Sea on dry ground. He killed the army of the Egyptians in the process, and he led them across the Red Sea into safety, and he fed them, and they were there because God led them. He protected them, and he brought them out of Israel. So there's a sequence of events here that's important for us to understand. One, God delivered them from Egypt first. Secondly, then he gave them the laws by living his way. Third, then he made the covenant. So this is the sequence. He led them out of Egypt, then he gave them the laws, and then he made a covenant with them. Imagine if God had gone to Moses at the burning bush so that Moses and said, "Moses, all right, you're going to go back into Egypt, and I want you to begin telling the law to the people." Imagine if that was the first thing God wanted him to do. "Moses, go back, tell them what I want." Imagine if he had gone in and said, "Okay, folks, the Lord is one God, and you're going to have to worship him and him alone." What would they have said? Well, imagine looking at a bunch of people that have been beaten, people that have been abused, people that have been used, women who were raped. Some of those women had had their children ripped out of their arms and murdered right there in front of them. Imagine if Moses had gone into this situation where all of the men, they had no self-respect. They'd been beaten down all of their lives. They weren't even able to protect their own family, their own wives, their own children. They weren't able to protect them. No pride. They were scared. Do you start with this? "Okay, here's your new God. Worship him and worship him alone." Is that where you start? Imagine Moses walking up and saying that. "God says you need to worship him and worship him alone." Seriously? If this God is alive, where is he? Why are we in this kind of a situation? They would not have received that. God delivered them first. He delivered them first. He sent 10 plagues on Egypt. He forced the hand of the oppressor to push them out of the country. God ripped them out of slavery, and he took them across the Red Sea, and then he killed the entire army, and he provided safety for them. 3 months later, all right, so God has brought them out. He's feeding them. He's taking care of them. He's saying, "All right, guys, I brought you out. Now it's time for you to understand. This is my way of living. I want you to hear my voice, and I want you to do things that are going to be healthy for you." So 3 months later, God realized, in order for these people to survive together, I need to make sure that they understand how to live healthy and strong. So he said this: "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all the nations, you will be my treasured possession." What is he saying? God calls attention to what he did for them. They were slaves in Egypt. Now they're not slaves anymore. God says, "This is what I've done for you. Now I want you to listen to what I need you to do. I want you to begin living my way so that your life can be healthy and strong. Your relationships can be healthy and strong. And good things can come to you. You will be blessed. You will be prosperous if you do this." You see, God delivered them and he made them his people. He said, "You'll be mine, unlike everybody else." Then he called them to live God's way. Have you realized that God has delivered you? When's the last time you stopped to think about what God has done for you? God has delivered you. When's the last time you really let it sink in? We sang about the blood of Jesus this morning. When's the last time you really stopped and said, "Man, what the blood of Jesus has done for my life?" And out of gratitude, hear God. This is so important because here's what it says. Living God's way is a response to God's grace, not a way to achieve God's grace. God has already delivered us. God has already forgiven us. And now it's a matter of coming into a relationship with him and living in that forgiveness, living in that freedom, living in that. It's beautiful, isn't it? When I tell one of my kids to do something, I can tell immediately if they are living with an attitude of gratitude. Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? Hey, will you take out the trash if I get... Or, what's your room look like? Don't go look at it. I can tell immediately if they're living in an attitude of gratitude. But when they help clean and they don't ask, hey, you know, what do you need me to do? And they just go and do it. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? It's a miracle is what it is. Not in my house, but... When they buy dinner, I'm like, wow, this is great. This is an attitude of gratitude. I like this. This feels good. I didn't have to buy dinner tonight. They bought Taco Bell, but no, actually, yesterday they did pretty good. They bought dinner for us. It was awesome. You see, obedience is to be a response of gratitude. Obedience is to be a response of gratitude for what God has done in our lives. That's what God turned the law into. When Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish it, I came to fulfill it. He was saying, I want you to obey. I want you to do things God's way because you love him. Because you appreciate what he's done for you. Out of an attitude of gratitude. It's a response of gratitude. You see, when the child forgets what you've done, there have been times I've sat down with my kids and I did the math. I'm like, let's see, your room is this many square feet. I'm paying this many dollars per square feet. It costs me every month this much money for you to have a bedroom. And that doesn't include water and electric. Anybody ever done that but me? You help them remember. This is what I've done for you. This is what I'm giving you. Gratitude goes away, and so does obedience whenever they forget what you've done for them. And it's the same way with God. God says, I did this for you, now live my way. Incidentally, my way is going to be wonderful. My way is going to be blessed. My way is going to be prosperous. Maybe not in a human term of what prosper looks like, prosperousness looks like, but or blessed looks like. But you better know that my blessing and my prosperity will be on your life for eternity, and it's going to be an amazing thing. If you trust me, live my way. If you appreciate what I've done for you, you'll obey me. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll obey me out of love. Exodus chapter 20, verse 2 says, it's just before God gives the first commandment, and it says this, I am the Lord your God. This is what God said. Who brought you out of Egypt? Out of the land of slavery. And the very next verse he says, you shall have no other gods before me. He says, this is me. This is what I did for you. Therefore, don't put any gods above me. Incidentally, there are no other gods, by the way. I'm the only one. And because of what I did for you, I expect you to obey me. And it's going to be good. Our obedience to God is to be about gratitude. Isn't it funny how when a child does one thing right, you know, they do this, but they expect this. Hey, I washed the dishes 3 months ago. I help around here. It's the way we are, isn't it? We give ourselves this much credit when we've done this much. And God says, man, I did this much. I did so much. He stretched his arms out and he took the beating on the cross and he died for us. He says, I did this much. Yeah, but God, I dropped 20 in the offering last week. Okay, great. I did this much. Yeah, well, God, I dropped 50 grand in the offering last week. Okay, it still doesn't. You understand? Our obedience to God is to be about gratitude. In the book of Deuteronomy, we find the heart of God being revealed when it comes to his people doing life his way. God has a heart for us. And God is after a loving relationship with us. And listen to what he said in Deuteronomy. Understand, a lot of people have a problem with the God of the Old Testament. You understand he's the same God as Jesus. Amen. Same God. Jesus said, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And they don't understand the Old Testament. They don't understand that it was about love. And this is the same God. This is Jesus, God the Father, and Jesus. They're talking here. Love the Lord your God. Did he say obey the Lord your God? Love the Lord your God with and with and with these commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. And then look what he says. Impress them on your children. That means like stamp them. Impress them. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them to your foreheads. Write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. What's he talking about? He's talking about the law. He's not saying just obey the law. He's saying embrace it. Put it in a box on your forehead and tie it there. Talk with your children about it. Teach them. Talk about it when you're driving down the road. And, you know, I was thinking about this as we were doing this. I mean, my kids, we always have theological conversations as we're driving down the road. We're continually talking about God and the things that, you know, how God does things and what God wants from us and how God does things. And we're continually doing devotions at home. And it's a wonderful thing. And we've always done this with our kids. And this is what he's saying. Impress them on your children. Don't just bring your kids to church and expect the church to get the job done. We can't. We have to do it ourselves. When the Lord God, your God, listen how personal that is. When the Lord, your God, brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities that you didn't build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you didn't provide, wells you didn't dig, and vineyards and olive groves you didn't plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful to not forget the Lord. What's he saying? I'm giving you all of this. I'm doing all of this for you. Don't forget God when you've got it all, who brought you out of Egypt and out of the land of slavery. God keeps going back to that one instance. I brought you out of Egypt. I brought you out of slavery. What is he saying? I'm saving you. I'm getting you out of that. That's one thing that God is always going to bring us back to, and we've got to understand in our lives that the act of God saving us is huge. The concept of God moving in to live inside of you is a big deal, but we just take it for granted after a while, and God knew that we would forget. God knew that we would just kind of, well, take it for granted and not do anything with it, and we just forget about it. God says, no, don't forget what I've done for you. I saved you from hell. It's a beautiful thing. Then just a few verses later, it says, in the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of all these stipulations, decrees, or laws that we're following, that God has commanded us? What's the meaning of this? Why are we doing this? Tell him this. We were slaves in Egypt, but the Lord has brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us in and give us the land he promised on oath to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. Isn't that awesome? This is what you're to tell your kids. Here are the reasons we're facing our social problems today. One, people have forgotten what God has done for us. When I look at what's happening, when I see what's happening on the TV across this nation, what I see is the church has forgotten what God has done for us. And we've got to once again return It's the basics. Jesus saved me. And I need to do things God's way. Secondly, we've not passed the story of slavery and deliverance on to our children. And third, instead of gratitude for deliverance that leads to obedience, we decide we know a better way than God. Instead of gratitude for His grace, instead of gratitude for His forgiveness and His love in our lives and that relationship, we decide we know a better way than God does. And that's where we are as a society. Have you really considered what God has done for you? When's the last time you sat down and meditated on what Jesus actually did for you? Have you ever really stopped to think about the fact that He delivered you from hell? He delivered you from hell? You don't have to worry about hell because you accepted Jesus into your life. You don't have to worry about hell. Man, I could have really just started the service with that and just said that 50 times over. Kenny, you don't have to worry about going to hell. You don't have to fret. You don't have to be afraid of it. In fact, there's just going to be a step from this life to the next one, and you're going to be like, whoa, here I am. I got life. You're already living eternal life. Maybe not in this flesh. We all know that for true, don't we? But one step, and we get to spend eternity with Him. You don't have to worry about hell. That's what He did for you. Man, that's beautiful. He brought you out of a life that led to destruction. Have you ever considered that maybe He saved your marriage years ago and your life would be totally different today had He not been there? Your life would be different. Have you ever given thought to the reality that without Jesus, your life would be totally, radically different than it is today? Have you ever thought about that? Just let it sink in. You have hope with your future with God. You have peace that He is with you, and you know that He's with you no matter what you face. You have security that gives you strength in life's struggles. You have security that you know that no matter what happens, I get to spend eternity with God. You have been given grace that allows you to be gracious to others. You don't have to drink your troubles away. You don't have to drug your troubles away. You have a God that you can worship that delivers you from all of those things. God has freed you. You just got to walk in it. You've got to walk in God's way for your life. Have you forgotten about your Egypt? Have you forgotten about the purpose in life that God has given you? Don't you realize that before you came to Christ, trying to grab purpose is like trying to grab a cloud? You can't grab it. It's not there. It's not attainable. But when you accepted Christ into your life, God granted purpose in your life. Did you forget that when you weren't living with Christ, that you'd buy that new car and you still felt like there was something missing? You'd buy that new house and you'd still feel like something is missing in life? Where is it? Where's my purpose? I need more than this. Have you forgotten about that fear of hell that God has forgiven you and given you life, eternity with Christ? It's time to remember again. It's time to remember what He's done for you. It's time to believe. It's time to know that God has given you life and life abundantly. He has given you life that is full of adventure, life that is full of purpose. God has delivered us. God has brought you out, and He's given this new life to you. Have you lived in it? Living in God's way. That's what He's calling us to. And God has a way for your children. Do you realize that? God has a way for your children. He needs you to teach it to them. The streets have been filled with kids tearing down statues, destroying people's homes and stores, and hitting and killing and destroying and setting up sanctuary places without police and the people are getting killed in there. This is what our kids are doing. Why? Because these kids have not been taught the purpose of God in their lives, what God has done for them. Their life story would be completely different today if they understood the love that God has for them and the love that they can give to each other. They would have far greater purpose in life. God commands you to tell your children and grandchildren the story of your salvation. Have you shared it with them? Because you're so grateful for what He has done in your life. This is what I've changed in my life. God commands you to show your children and your grandchildren that you are so grateful for what He's done in your life that you changed your life for Him. That's what God commands. Show them. Teach them. He commands it. Do they see you willing to not get drunk anymore because you love Jesus? Do they see you willing to change how you talk because you love Jesus and you're grateful for Him? James David, would you come? Do they see you willing to change what you think about things like abortion because you love Jesus now? Do they see that? Do they see that change? Do they see you willing to love people that are of any color because of your love for Jesus? Do they see you willing to lay down what you think you deserve? Because, man, I'm so grateful for what God did in my life. I love Him. Are you willing to change your life because you love Him? Are you willing to change what you think because you love Him? Are you willing to use your talents to grow and build His kingdom just simply because you love Him? Do your kids see you making things right when you've done things wrong because you love Jesus? Do they hear you saying, well, hey, listen, I used to do that. I used to be that way, but Jesus saved me. God changed my life. And I'm different because of it. God wants you to control you. It's God's way. Wait a second, I thought you were talking about doing things God's way. That means that He wants to control me. No, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. God doesn't want to control you. He gives you the freedom to say, okay, I want to learn God's way, and I want to do things God's way. Isn't that beautiful? And when you control you, God's way, you'll find the same results the Israelites found. They said this, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive. When you get that done, you'll be amazed at how different and how better your life is. Your health will be better. Your finances will be better. Your relationships will be better. Your marriage will be better. Your kids will be better. Everything in your life is going to become better. You see, God wants His community, His church, to rise up and the world to look on and see people that because we lived life God's way, our lives are better. We have peace. We have hope. We have purpose. Your church will be better. Even your pastor will be better. You live life God's way. But it all begins with remembering what God did for you. You see, we don't just obey Him because He can throw our soul into hell. It'd be wise if we did. That's just wisdom. That's just common sense. But we don't do that. It's better than that. We don't just obey God because He says, I said so. It's way better than that. We obey Him because we remember what He did. He loves you. brought you out. He saved you. He saved you. Would you bow your heads? Would you take a moment and just think about it? You've been saved. He brought you out of slavery to the enemy. He delivered you. You don't have to worry about hell anymore. That is not your future. Let it sink in. God, thank you. Thank you that you delivered us. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. And thank you for your grace. Thank you. Thank you for coming into my life and washing me and cleansing me. I give you my heart. I give you my life. Thank you for your mercy and grace. But then God comes along and he says, all right, because I delivered you, you need to live my way. Not because I'm trying to control you. I want to give you control of your life. And my way is to give you control of it. That you would live healthy. You would live strong. You would do the things that make your life be better. My way is the best way. God knows the formula. And submitting to that and embracing it, he says, this is what I've done for you. Do it. If you love me, you'll obey me. Follow me. Listen to what I say, and your life will be better. Isn't that beautiful? So today, let's just take a moment and submit to it. And let me ask you this question. Some of you are sitting here today, and you're like, well, I don't know where to start. I don't know what to do. Well, let me tell you this. Start here. Do the last thing God told you to do. Maybe you walked away from him a while back. Do the last thing he told you to do. Listen to him. Do what he's talking to you about. Commit to it. And after service, if you need to talk to somebody and say, hey, this is what the Lord spoke to me, do it. Get some accountability. God, thank you for what you've done for us. And out of gratitude today, we decide we will obey you. Help us to do what you've taught us. Help us to be eager to hear what you have to say. We want to do things your way. As a church family and as individuals. Because God, your way is wonderful. It may be difficult and we may struggle. But God, you want us to be healthy and strong, and in the end, the world to look on and see God's people and know that you have brought us out. You have delivered us. You have saved us. And so today, we say, God, from this moment on, we just want to be people that the world is able to look at and each other is able to look at and see God working in our lives. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Maybe you're here today and you haven't accepted Christ into your life. Just do that right where you are. He wants to save you. He wants to deliver you. Let him bring you out. And listen, yeah, there are things that need to change in your life, but let him deliver you first. Let him do that. Before you start worrying about that, just let him deliver you. Let him come inside of you. Invite him in right now. In Jesus' name, God, come into my life. Thank you, Father, for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.